Good morning, everybody. It's Ben Baker. It is the first episode of 2018 of the YourLivingBrand.live show. It's January 3rd. Welcome to a brand new year. Welcome to a new year of opportunity and another way for you to communicate the value to your customers. This show is all about what makes people unique, what makes people interesting. What makes people drawn to you? Why do want people care about you? And why do they want to hear your story? Every week, we work with another company and we find out what's their story. What do they do that's different? What do they do that's special? How do they communicate their message to their clientele? And why do their clients care? Now, my name is Ben Baker. My company, 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, is Your Brand Marketing. What do? We consult. We speak and we teach on brand, message, market, vision, and value. What does that mean? We work with you to find out who you are, what you do, why you do it, who you do it for, and more importantly, why they should care. It's about telling your story, a story that's unique, that's different, that takes you away from being a commodity and puts you in a position where, you know what? You can show people that you're worth the price that people should pay for you. Now, this week, we have a great guest. Now, our guest today is Scott Friesen of a company called Simplicity.com. Great, great guy, great company. What does Scott do? He makes your life simple. He works with you as an efficiency expert. He goes in there and builds programs for you within your business using technology that you most likely already have to make your life simpler, to give you more hours of the day, to make you more effective, to be able to allow you to take that all that paper off your desk and make your life more efficient. Now, we pre-record these episodes, and I just want to bring Scott on, listen to the episode, and I'll be back at the end to say goodbye. Enjoy the show. Hey, Scott, welcome to the show. It is great having you on today. Thank you very much for taking the time to be with me.
Ben, I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me on the show.
You know what? It's always a pleasure. You're always a lot of fun to talk to. So, you know, I figured I had to get you on the show so you and I can have some laughs on air. So that's what today's going to be all about, is just to sit there and say, how much fun can we have?
You're making me sound like a bit of a comedian. We'll see. We'll see how that goes.
You or me? So I think it's probably more me. You can be the straight man. I'll play the comedian. How about we do that?
Sure. Sounds good.
So let's dive into this. I mean, you know, this show is all about what makes you unique, what makes you different, why people should do business with you. So tell me the story about Simplicity. Tell me about what do you do? How do you do it? You know, I mean, we were just talking off air on your YouTube channel. Maybe we'll dive into that as well and how you use that to your advantage. But tell me a little bit about what your company does, who you do it for, and why they find you valuable.
Sure. So Simplicity is a productivity and training business. And what I aim to do is to help people get more out of their day. And really, it's not specific to any one industry. I work with both individuals and entire organizations, or sometimes it's just a team or perhaps a department. Now, I know there's a number of other people who do provide productivity or time management training, but my focus, as the name suggests, Simplicity, a combination of simple and productivity, is that I honestly feel that we all perform at our very best, we perform at our efficient, at our optimal best, when we keep things simple. And in today's day and age, it's so easy to overcomplicate things, right? We've
Absolutely.
Got so much more technology. We've got so many more notifications and disruptions and interruptions that happen throughout the day. My focus is to help people to keep things simple, see what's essential, and either get rid of everything else or learn how to defer some of those tasks or some of that technology that actually may be interfering with their day. So whether it's suggesting technology, tools, or applications, or sometimes it's just the methodology, right? How to attack a to-do list or how to optimize your calendar. My focus is to help people to get more done and enjoy less stress at the same time.
Well, and that's important. I mean, technology is, as I tell everybody, it's both your friend and your worst enemy. You know, it makes, you know, I mean, let's face it. The power that's in my hand allows me to be a lot more flexible. It allows me to be on the move, to be mobile, to everything. But on the other hand, you know, Facebook is following you. LinkedIn is following you. Email is following you. Texting is following you. All the apps are there. And sometimes you wonder, how effective are you? Because you're being distracted on a daily, hourly, minute by minute basis by technology that, you know, it's supposed to be working for you instead of you working for it.
You know, I often say you're on one side of the spectrum. Either you're letting technology control your life or your day, or you're the one who's in control. And sometimes we swing, you know, between those two states on a daily basis or a different part of the week. But, you know, a lot of the things that I talk about, a lot of the things that I help people to, or I should say remind them of, is that they are the ones who are in control. I mean, sometimes it feels as if we're a slave to our technology, right? Sometimes it feels as if, you know, we're the ones that have to have every single notification on. We have to have all these beeps and rings and ringtones and everything available to us. When listen, if you want to accomplish that most important task, if you really want to reach your goal by the end of the month or the end of the year, you need to say no to a few things.
Right.
And you certainly need to turn off your notifications. You certainly need to turn off some of your alarms for a part of your day. You're the one who's in control. So sometimes we need to start acting like it.
Right. See, I turn on my alarms to remind me that I actually have to do something with the digital technology, because I do what I can to block off chunks of my day. You know, I have chunks of my day that I never look at social media. I never look at email. I never look, you know, I don't even return phone calls. It's, you know, I sit there and say, okay, I need 2 hours of my day because I'm writing a strategic report, or I'm writing a blog post, or I'm writing, you know, part of my book right now. And if you're constantly being interrupted, you know, it's absolutely impossible. I went to see somebody by Victoria Gray. I think I told you about Victoria. And she talks about deep work and light work, you know, and it's that concentration. I'm sure you can elaborate that, you know, and what the value is for people.
It's so healthy. It's really, really healthy to have parts of your day where you can confidently say, you know what, I'm not touching email for the next 2 hours, or I'm not doing this type of activity for an hour or whatever it is, that I'm actually going to focus on this particular task. And like you said, you know, that term deep work, Cal Newport wrote a fantastic book on this. I think it was just last year,
yeah.
which is fantastic, because he takes a look at some of the most, you know, prominent thinkers or scientists or inventors of the last, roughly the last 100 years. And one of the things that he focuses in on is that they all had an awful lot of solitude, an awful lot of alone time. And although we like to think that, well, people 50 years ago or even 25 years ago, they certainly didn't have the same distractions that we did. Well, they had other distractions, right? They had other things that were clamoring for their time, but they created these spaces. And it might have been a physical space. You know, they created time for that in their schedule. They didn't just go about doing what everyone else was doing. They created it. They decided what their optimal day looked like. And that's the thing. If you want to do something really special, if you want to do something really creative or innovative, you need a certain duration of time. You can't just come up with that great idea in 25 minutes. You need to be a deep thinker. I think it was Albert Einstein who said, you know, I'm really not that much smarter than anyone else. I just stick with it longer, right? I just stick with the problem longer.
Yeah.
And I think we see that in our work and sometimes in our businesses even today.
Well, and that's just the thing, is the more time we can spend devoted to the things that are important, you know, the more effective we are in those tasks. I mean, we all try to do 10,000 things on a daily basis. Everybody says, oh, I multitask. I'm a great multitasker. I have yet to meet somebody who really, truly, absolutely is a great multitasker. Someone who can actually do 3 or 4 or 5 things simultaneously and do any of them well.
Well, if any of your listeners have attended any of my workshops, they'll know that I often engage in a specific multitasking exercise to help prove the point that multitasking is not only a huge distraction, but it wastes an awful lot of time. And I go so far as to saying that multitasking is actually a myth, strictly because as human beings, we cannot focus on two different things simultaneously. It's impossible for you and I to focus simultaneously on two separate things. What we're really doing is switch tasking. We're never actually multitasking. We're actually going back and forth. Even if you're listening to someone on a phone conference while you're typing email, you're never actually doing both simultaneously. You're writing the email while you're listening. And then when you go to response, your fingers are actually off of the keys or not typing. But we've gotten so used to going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And then we're surprised about these feelings of burnout or these increased feelings of stress. I mean, we're making ourselves work overtime for some of these smaller tasks. But there's another risk that is creeping up. And this affects really all areas of our life, including things such as social media, is that our brains are even starting to be rewired in that we're jumping from this thing to the next, and our brain actually likes that. It gives us a shot of dopamine when we click on this and we see a short video and then we come back to Facebook and then we write that quick email. It says, I like that. Let's do more of that.
Well, I guess it makes us feel like we're being more productive.
It gives us that false sense of we're getting more things done.
Right.
Another area where I see this a lot as a productivity coach and a productivity consultant is email. A lot of us spend a huge amount of time in our inboxes, a huge amount of time in our email. And I say that we overinflate the importance of email. It's necessary. All of us need email. It's probably a core part of your business, but you don't need to have your inbox open all day long. However, the temptation is when you read an email or reply to an email, of course, the color of that email changes from unread to red, or you've got the little reply symbol, and that makes you feel like you're accomplishing something, right? It's almost the equivalent of a checkbox or crossing a line through something. So we'll spend a half hour in email, and we think that we've gotten things done. We think that we're having a productive day. Yet, sitting next to you might be your to-do list or maybe in a separate application. Those are the real important things. I mean, you wrote it out or you created that a day ago or whenever you created it. That's really where you should focus be. But email gives us so much of these quick wins that we often get drawn or sucked back into our inbox.
Well, there's also that social aspect as well. You know, it's like, oh, you know, people like me because they respond to my email. And then, you know, and there's that whole social gratification, and the same thing goes with any social media platform. You know, it's just, you know, we think we're being productive because we're sending emails or, you know, doing work on LinkedIn or Facebook or whatever. But a lot of it is the fact that we're looking for social gratification.
True.
And then there isn't as much effectiveness. You know, I have a friend of mine who's has an out of office every single day. Her office says, I respond to emails twice a day. I do it at 10 o'clock in the morning and I do it at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. If it's important, call me. You know, and she's amazed at how few phone calls she actually gets because people sit there and go, okay, she's busy. It'll wait. You know, if it's truly it's a 911. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs an answer now. People call her, people text her, but you know, she uses email as a way to be able to communicate twice a day. So she's doing it on, she's using that technology on her level instead of using it to somebody else's benefit.
And that's a great example of maybe validating the importance of that request or what someone is wanting to contact her about, right? You know, in the world of email or texting or social media, it's so easy for us to produce that content. And that's probably why we produce so much of it, right? It's just so easy to whip that off. But if I have to have a conversation with you, it's not only a little more time consuming if I have to call you up, but I know I'm taking time away from you at that moment, right? I'm having that physical conversation. And that often makes us, you know, rethink rethink our purposes of why we are doing that. Well, you know, maybe I don't need to contact Ben today or right now. You know, maybe this can wait for a for another day, or look, I'm meeting him for coffee in 2 days. I'll talk about this at that time. But I think another thing that plays into that is that many of us are rather poor at capturing our ideas, right, or capturing our notes. And so we're starting to train ourselves, well, if I think of it, I'm just going to do it. Think of it, do it. Think of it, do it. Whether it's email or something else, when you know what? A lot of those thoughts, they maybe need for you to sit on it or sleep on it for a day, right? Yeah. They need to simmer. They're such, those are terms such as putting it on the back burner or I'm going to ponder this. We don't use that very often anymore. Mm-hmm. I think as a result, it leads to a lot of garbage tasks or sometimes a lot of garbage communication because you had that quick thought and then you immediately did it. You didn't put any thought into, do I need to take that course of action or should I take that take that course of action? That's where, having an effective capturing tool, a notebook, a dedicated application can really be helpful in that sense.
Well, whether it be Evernote or a notebook, I mean, you look at people like Richard Branson, is never anywhere without a notebook and a pen.
Right.
He writes everything down. He may not deal with it immediately, but at least it's there and he can capture the idea. He can capture the thought. He can realize it says, okay, I need to get back to so-and-so on this. And it's there instead of having to deal with the immediacy of, I can deal with this on my time and I can deal with this on my terms.
I often use a meeting or even a conversation like this as an example. And you think of how often you're speaking with someone or maybe even a small group of people, and then you have that wonderful idea, which is not related at all in the meeting that you're engaged in. Right. Now, you sort of got one of two options available to you. You can start to start to apply that idea and start working on that idea or make the text or the email at that moment, which takes you away completely from that conversation, completely disengages you from the people that you're working with. Or you can have a tool, something where you can capture it in a matter of seconds and then get back to that conversation. Give those people the full attention that they deserve. Be more effective and be more efficient in that meeting or in that conversation, knowing that you've got a place. Like you said, whether it's a physical notebook or whether it's a digital app, you have the confidence that you can go back and review that note and then act upon it at the most appropriate time.
Well, and it's also showing value to the people that you're in the room with. It drives me crazy when people are in a meeting and the phones are being used underneath the desk, or people don't even take their phones and turn them off. My attitude is, if I'm in front of somebody, even if I'm in a trade show or whatever, if I'm talking to you, I'm talking to you. And it's important. If somebody calls, I'll either let it go to voicemail, or if I know it's an important call, say, I'm in a meeting right now. Can I call you back in half an hour?
Right.
And then call somebody back. And then I excuse myself for taking the phone call. But 9 times out of 10, or actually 95 times out of 100, I'll just let the call go to voicemail because that's what it's there for. That's the tool that you're using to be able to allow yourself to concentrate on the person in front of you, because they're at that point in time, their time and their effort and their ideas are important.
Well, and that brings to another area which I tend to spend a lot of focus on, or I have a lot of my clients who ask me for help in this area, and that is prioritization, right? How they prioritize their work, or in the example that you just gave, how can they prioritize the moment that they're in? Can they give that individual, or maybe if it's not even a person-to-person meeting, can they give that task, can they give that project the attention that it deserves? And we seem to have lost our way a little bit or struggle with that concept of what's more important than something else. Mm-hmm. And as you said, going back and forth between multitasking and a little bit of this, a little bit of that, back and forth, and we don't get nearly as far, or we don't even get to touch some of those projects, some of those goals that we wish we could have gotten to maybe earlier in the year or earlier in the month.
Yeah. Somebody told me, it says, whether it be a daily task, a weekly task, a monthly task, or a yearly task, you pick three. And depending on how big the tasks are, but you pick three things. These are the three things that I want to do in 2018. What are your thoughts on that? If you give yourself too many goals, do you just not do any of them?
There's a fantastic book that came out about maybe 7 years ago called The Four Disciplines of Execution. And it's about, it's sort of designed, or that book was sort of written primarily for teams and people involved in project management. But you know what? We're all involved in project management.
Right.
Even if you're a business of one, you're involved in project management. But one of the things that I loved about that book is they pulled together some data about goal setting in mm-hmm. terms of the number of goals that you're pursuing at any given time. And they went out and they polled a large number of organizations and teams about the number of goals that they had set at any given time. Now, I think in most cases for this particular study, these were annual goals, right. or at the very least, they were quarterly goals. And what they found is that those who chose between 1 to 3 goals, on average, they hit all of those goals.
Right.
And not only did they hit those goals, they exceeded expectations. Like they absolutely hit it out of the ballpark. Mm-hmm. Now, those who set between 4 to 10 goals, on average, they would only hit about 1 to 2 of those goals.
Wow.
And then those who selected more than 10 goals, on average, didn't get to any of them, or at least not at that exceptional level. Like they may have just barely, barely crossed the finish line.
I can cross it off the list, I'm not ecstatic about it.
Exactly. I'm not happy to tell anybody about it. And, I think that you can look at that from a big picture perspective, if you are looking at sort of your annual goals or what you want to achieve over a year. But you can also look at that from a daily to-do list or a daily task list, is that often I will suggest to people, once you've combed through the 12 or so things that you want to do today, write down, like you said, write down your top 3 things on a separate piece of paper or on a separate application, something where you can't see the other 9 or 15 or whatever that number is, because those other things on that list are only going to pull you away. They are only going to pull you away from your top 3. Do everything in your power to do your top 2 or your top 3, and then you can get to the rest of your list, right? Then you can get to everything else that is going on in that list. But often we keep a to-do list which has everything on it, and that's what pulls us away, because our eyes start to dart up and down and this and that. Oh, maybe I can do that. Oh, that looks like a quick win. And we sort of throw the priority or the value out the window. So, whether it's your top 2, whether it's your top 3, be really laser focused where you need.
Cool. Now, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about your YouTube channel. Let's talk about how do you communicate your value? Because YouTube is a huge part of how you communicate, how you distribute your information, how you get to people. Because let's face it, both webcasts and podcasts are how people like to communicate. It's like how people like to digest content. So how do you develop that content, and how do you, how do you bring that content to bear? Because you've got, 10,000 people almost on a YouTube following right now.
It's really interesting, because the story of Simpletivity actually starts with the YouTube channel.
Right.
And the reason why I say that is that I started my my YouTube channel the very same week that I left the organization that I was working for at that time. And I didn't actually know what my next step was. It wasn't like I was leaving that organization for a new job or even a new career. I wasn't even exactly sure what that next step was going to be. But I had a funny feeling that YouTube was going to be a part of it. I had started spending a lot more time finding out information and engaging with some of my favorite YouTubers and people who were helping me, whether it was professionally or in my personal life. And so I began by posting a few videos. Within about 2 months, I decided that, this is going to be a part of what I do as a productivity professional, as someone who coaches and consults with others with time management and efficiency. So a lot of my videos, actually, it's changed over the years, but a lot of my videos are technology focused. My background is in software development and design. I spent many years as a software product manager. And so a lot of my videos on the Simpletivity YouTube channel is showing people how to get the most out of applications that they're already using, or introducing them to new applications, new pieces of technology that can help them with their business or help them with their day. So if it's an existing piece of technology, it might be something based around Google or right. Microsoft, you know, getting the most out of Gmail or Google Drive, or how to process your emails more efficiently within Microsoft Office. I'm also a really big fan of Trello. So I help people with Trello, show a lot of tips and techniques on how to get the most out of the Trello application. But then again, as I mentioned, I might be introducing you to something brand new that you've never heard of that you can start to use right away. So I try to focus my videos on you know, they're roughly usually not much longer than about 10 minutes in length. I want to give you some quality content. I want you to know how to do it, so you know you can set up your email or your spreadsheet or whatever I'm talking about. You can do it yourself, but not too long that you have to dedicate time to watch those videos.
Right.
But YouTube has been a fantastic channel for me to engage with my audience, also to acquire new customers and clients. I would say the majority of my followers start out by finding me on YouTube, right? They find me by watching a particular video, and that often leads them to my website or to engage with me via email. And even if it's just something as simple as leaving a comment, that's so valuable to me because I can see what people are thinking about, right? Like what do they want to learn about next? What did they not fully understand about that particular tutorial or that particular video? And a lot of the questions, a lot of the comments that I've received on my YouTube channel have led to new content. That's led to the next video or the next how-to video. So it's exactly. been a really great and positive experience.
Well, I'll make sure that I put a link to your YouTube channel on the footer of this so everybody has a chance to be able to say, but I'm assuming it's youtube.simplicity.
That's right. Well, it's youtube.com/C/simplicity. For some channels, they put a little C in between there. So yeah, youtube.com/C/simplicity.
Perfect. Now, one last question that I'm going to let you go, because this is something I ask everybody. I want to know, when you leave an office, when you finish talking to one of your clients, when you walk out the door, what's the number one thing as you drive away that you want people to think about you and your company?
That is a fantastic question. When I work with my clients, or even if they just happen to find me or watch some of my content, maybe they even haven't had an opportunity to work with me directly, I want them to leave knowing that being productive does not have to be difficult. Right? You do not need a massive wall chart to help you find out what to do next. You do not need to purchase any sophisticated technology to be more efficient or effective. You also don't have to become a hermit and lock all your doors and lock your office door to be productive as well. I pride myself on showing people simple techniques that are effective. Simple things, easy things that you can start to engage with, that you can start to apply with right away, that have benefits that you're going to start to see right away as well. So as I sign off on my own YouTube channel to every one of my YouTube videos, yeah, being productive does not need to be difficult. In fact, it's very simple. And that's what I want people to remember about Simpletivity.
That's great. You know, Scott, thank you very much. Hang out in the green room for a minute. I'm just going to say goodbye to everybody, and then I'll be right back.
Fantastic. Thanks again, Ben.
Hey, thanks for being such a wonderful guest. Well, I couldn't think of a better person to have on the show, you know, for the first show of the year. Scott is a phenomenal guest. He's given you some great productivity hacks and allowed you to have the opportunity to set your year up right. You know, he's given you the opportunity to sit there and say, you know what? Here are some simple tips. Here are some simple things that you can do to be able to make your life better. And you know what? Re-listen to the podcast, re-watch the video, and actually take notes, because you know what? There is some gold in there. Once again, my name is Ben Baker. My company is Your Brand Marketing. Monday to Friday, 9 to 5. Let me help you. let's work with you to understand your brand, your message, your market, your vision, and your value. Let's understand who you are, what you do, who you do it for, and why those people should care. This show is called the Your Living Brand Show. Every Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific time, we interview another guest to find out what makes them special, what makes them unique, and what's their story. Tune in next week. I'd love to hear your story. Take care and have a great week.